Deuteronomy 33. Couldn't find my tie clasp, so I appreciate this tie clasp here. Actually, I was missing a button. That's why I had to wear a tie. Or I just wear this tie to make y'all look bad. Deuteronomy. Look at verse 26. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Look at that last verse. Happy art thou, O Israel. Are you happy? I mean to tell you, I'm happy. Sometimes when I get to thinking about my life, I just have a hard time remembering the bad stuff. Yeah. So much good stuff has happened.
Amen.
It's just been a good life. I'm happy. Somebody recently wrote me and asked me what makes a happy marriage. Happy marriage. You ever thought about that? A happy marriage. Actually, I never put those words together before. Not because it's not possible. I just never had. I thought a good marriage, maybe, and a working marriage, a lasting marriage, but a happy marriage. Happy marriage. Somebody asked me the other day about a sweet marriage. I think we ought to have a sweet marriage. So what if you don't like the word sweet? I mean, what if I want a salty marriage? I don't know about that. You know, a sweet marriage. I'm just not really, even when I'm nice, I'm not necessarily sweet. I don't know. I don't think we have a sweet marriage. I'm not sure. I don't think anybody else would classify our marriage as a sweet marriage. We do a lot of yelling, you know. And do you have a happy marriage?
Amen.
Is a happy marriage possible? I got to think about what a happy marriage is because this fellow wrote me. What's a happy marriage? I'm just wondering, do I have a happy marriage? So I try to define it. What is a happy marriage? Is a happy marriage when you're always happy? I don't know anybody's always happy. So is a happy marriage when you're usually happy? I don't think so. Sometimes happy. You know, can you be sometimes happy and then say, well, I got a happy marriage? Can you have a happy marriage if you're sad? If all kinds of bad things happen to you, can you still have a happy marriage? Happy marriage. I guess it means you don't regret you got married. That's pretty much it, isn't it? I mean, a happy marriage is you're happy you got married. That leaves out a lot of people, but some of us are happy. I'm personally... You know, stereotypically. I didn't get that joke. You'll have to explain. There's a stereotype about women that what they want is to get married. And there's a stereotype of men is what they want is not to get married. I don't know how many movies you've seen, excuse my French, with that motif. People keep going laughing. I guess. Okay. I got to get my bearings here. You guys are laughing. Laughing at stuff I didn't mean as a joke, but.
We're happy.
Y'all are happy. Well, I'm glad. Paul said you're better off if you don't get married. You avoid a whole lot of trouble in the flesh. But God said it's not good for a man to be alone. So I kind of hold with God. I'm on God's side. I'm glad I'm married. So it's good for a man to get married, but it's bad for a woman to get married because Paul says she's happier if she abides single. You notice how everything's gotten backwards? Because the woman wants to get married, and God says, well, she'd be happier if she would stay single. And the man supposedly doesn't want to get married, and he's going to be a lot better off if he gets married. That's basically the lesson in life I was going to give you this morning. So now that you know all about that, what makes a happy marriage? I guess a happy marriage is where your spouse wants to make you happy. And where you want to make your spouse happy. That's a happy marriage. Yeah, happy marriages are possible. Takes a little bit of work. It means you got to be a little unselfish. You got to stop worrying about your happiness and start worrying about somebody else's happiness, and it'll make a happy marriage. Yep. What about the Constitution says you can't deprive anyone without due process of life, liberty, or the pursuit of happiness. You can't, they listed right on there, right along with life and liberty, the pursuit of happiness. So that our Constitution, written by a bunch of hedonists, deists, says the purpose in life is the pursuit of happiness. That's what life's about, pursuing happiness. And, they're right. That's what life's about, pursuing happiness. I mean, that's what we want, right? We want happiness. Isn't that the main goal of earthly life? Happiness? Or did you think that the main goal of earthly life was riches? You can't eat money. Did you realize that dogs look for happiness? Horses, cattle, they look for happiness. We get a kick driving up from the border, and we see this huge pasture. This pasture, I mean, it's got green grass everywhere. And there's one tree out in the middle of the pasture, and 50 cows under that tree. They like the shade too. They're pursuing happiness. Throw a dog a bone, and he'll be happy. Toss a couple of squirrels in the yard, and my dog will be happy. He's pursuing happiness. I mean, that's what the definition of pursuing happiness is. It just makes you happy. I would say that's probably in life the best goal. In this life, the best goal is to be happy. That's what you ought to be going after. You shouldn't fail to realize that all the other possible goals really, if you don't achieve that one, they're really not much, you know. I mean, if you get rich, but you're not happy, that then, wealth really wasn't much of a goal. If you get married and you're not happy, well, what was marriage? I mean, you kind of hurt yourself, didn't you? A lot of people win the lottery. They don't get happier. What other goal are you going to compare it to? Long life. But if you're not happy, it's just longer misery. Right? Happy art thou, O Israel, who's like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. Amen. Do you know that happiness, if it's the goal you're pursuing, can never be finally achieved? It's never done. It's never really gotten. I mean, there's always a little more. Actually, happiness is kind of relative. It's like, happier. Out of us, I'm the happiest. I'm happier than you. So that's relative. So happiness is not really a goal that you can actually finally say, I got it. Because the moment you get it, you find out, you know, there is something else that I also would probably like. I had a fellow, good brother. Things started to work out for him, and he's getting this done, getting this other thing done. He one time confessed to me, he said, you know, I got one thing I want. And he actually made this statement. He said, this one thing, if I get that one thing, my life will be complete. Well, he didn't get it. So his life's not complete. Looks to me like his life's never going to be complete. Well, I get a kick out of it, laugh about it. He realizes it was probably an overstatement or an understatement. It can't ever quite be achieved. You can get a little closer and get a little happier, but you can't ever get to that point where you say, I got it. Because it can be lost overnight. It can just disappear right in front of your eyes. Happiness can just melt away. Just melt into nothing. All of a sudden you're sad. It comes and goes. It's so hard to hang on to. Happiness. And yet our goal in life is the pursuit of happiness. Actually, out of all the goals there are, this is probably the most realistic one. Because, you know, you can be happy with a lot less than you're looking for. You don't have to go after all this other stuff for happiness. Amen. In fact, you ought to just focus on what really does cause happiness. And just go after that. Because you get messed up on what you think might cause happiness, might bring you happiness. You think, I want a happy marriage. And so you think it ought to be this way. And just because you want the happy marriage so bad, you have a bad marriage. Because you're trying so hard to have a happy marriage. And you wind up messing up the marriage you got. Maybe a key to a happy marriage is not make happiness the main thing. Maybe. If happiness is our goal, the pursuit of happiness is the goal of life, it's not much of a goal. It's basically the only goal in life, and it ain't much of a goal. That's kind of amazing. For example, happiness is a feeling. It's a reaction to favorable circumstances, or to alcohol, or to laughing gas, or to a shopping spree, or to a candy bar. What a bone is to a dog. Something is to you, happiness. Isn't that right? It's just a feeling. Comes and goes. You're happy one minute, you're sad the next minute. Occasionally, happiness is the result of stupidity. You've heard the statement, ignorance is bliss. A lot of times that's true. If a kid smiles too much, you think something's wrong with it. I got a dog that never smiles. Never smiles. Always frowning. It's a subjective comparison. What makes one person happy doesn't make somebody else happy. What makes you happy doesn't necessarily make me happy. It's not objective. It's not something you can say, this is happiness. Here it is. Because it's subjective. It's up to you. You kind of decide what's going to make you happy. And somebody else decides what's going to make them happy. And they're usually wrong. You know that prisoners can be happy? Slaves can be happy? Terminally ill patients can be happy? It's mutually exclusive. What makes some people happy makes other people sad. Has to. There was a lot of people in San Antonio sad on Friday night because the Spurs lost. And a lot of people happy up in Dallas because the Mavericks won. Right? You ever watch, you know, I don't have this problem because I always root for my team. But if you're not really, you don't really have a team, you kind of feel bad after every game because somebody lost. That's true. My wife, she don't have a favorite team, so she just roots for whoever's losing. Isn't that amazing? You root for losing. You root for the one that prepared the least. You root for the lazy ones, the ones that don't like to run so fast. And then when they lose, you're all sad. Mutually exclusive happiness. Preoccupation with happiness is the loss of it. You start worrying about happiness, well, you're worrying. That's exactly what happiness isn't. Look it up, the definition of happiness, what it means, where it comes from, what root. Hap, chance, freedom, looseness. Come on, man, we're just having a good time. You start worrying about happiness, you lost it. It's a state of mind. It's in your head. It's a state of mind. Can you believe that, people? Happiness is a state of mind. I think it was Mike Veach mentioned when he was here that you can think yourself happy. Because Paul said so. I think myself happy. You can think yourself happy. Just do some thinking and you can be happy. Not much of a goal, the pursuit of happiness, that you can get by eating a candy bar. Not much of a goal. Not much of a goal if all you do is say, you know, I just decided I'm going to be happy. Well, then what are you going after? What happened to your goal in life if you can just be happy by just being happy? You want to be happy? Stop trying to be happy. Make somebody else happy. Amen. Try making somebody else happy. That'll make you happy. It amazes me how many people get depressed who have nothing to be depressed about. And how many people have something to be depressed about and they're happy. As a practical pastor of a lot of people, I deal with people all the time who tell me they're depressed. And it's nearly always when everything's finally going right. Things are doing well. What do you have to be depressed about? Everything's working out. But they're depressed. I guess because they're bored. I don't know. Maybe they like the attention. I don't know. You know, maybe there's a chemical imbalance in the brain. I'm not a medical doctor to tell you whether that's even possible. But it's a state of mind. And I've always told the depressed people that I have to deal with that there's two things to stop being depressed. One is start thanking God for the good things. Whatever it is, just start being thankful for all the good stuff. You can't spend much time thanking God for all the good stuff and stay depressed.
That's right.
It's really difficult. And the other thing is, go out and find somebody worse off than you and help them out.
Yeah.
Man, that just solves the problem. You could just put psychiatrists right out of business. Now let's find out what God has to say about it. Yeah. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord?
Amen.
Salvation is the greatest happiness.
Amen.
There is no happiness that compares to salvation.
That's right.
Jesus said, don't rejoice because you can cast out devils. Jesus said, you rejoice that your names are written in heaven.
Amen.
Salvation is the greatest happiness. Money doesn't compare to salvation.
That's right.
Getting married doesn't compare to salvation.
Amen.
Having a baby doesn't compare to getting saved. Salvation is the greatest happiness.
Amen.
You know how I know? Because just God said so right there.
Amen.
Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord?
Amen.
The Lord's trying to tell you something. Happiness is salvation.
That's right.
Salvation is happiness.
Amen.
There's no happiness that compares to it. Salvation is the only happiness. It's the only happiness. Because if you're not saved, you're not happy. God says so.
Yeah. Right.
You are one miserable, stupid, loser if you're not saved. I'm not trying to put you down if you're not saved. I'm just saying, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have not found God and you don't know what to do to please Him, if you do not know how to come to Him, how to speak to Him, if He's never spoken to you, you're miserable. You don't know Jesus. You don't have anything. You are miserable, and you'll be miserable all your life. And you might not even know it. You might just be fooled. Remember, stupidity is one cause of happiness. You can just plain ignore all the facts and just stay happy. You can ignore everything God says and think you're happy. And God says you're not. You're not happy. He says, let me tell you who's happy. Happy art thou, O Israel, people saved by the Lord.
Amen.
Happy art thou, O people saved by the Lord.
Amen.
Those are who are happy.
Yes.
Salvation is happiness. Saved people are happy. It's amazing how many of them don't know it. I'm serious. It's amazing how many saved people don't know they're happy.
Yeah.
They could be walking every single day saying, I'm happy.
Yeah.
It could be sunshine on them all the time. Because salvation is happiness. It's just that simple. It is happiness. You think Dale's sad right now? No, man, he's not sad. He's happy.
Amen.
We're happy. All of us who are saved are happy.
Amen.
We might not feel happy. We might not seem happy. But we are happy because God says so.
Amen.
Happy art thou, people saved by the Lord. You know, it's amazing. God says, you people just don't realize how happy you are.
That's right.
You don't realize what a blessing this is. How is it possible that you go to church every Sunday and hear about the tremendous, amazing fact of salvation, forgiveness, reconciliation with God, eternal life guaranteed?
Amen.
And you don't realize how happy you are. You do realize that God was not obligated to save anyone.
That's right.
He could have just let you try to save yourself. He could have just said, I'm not my brother's keeper. I don't have anything to do with you people. You all are sinners. You guys thought you were smarter than me. You thought that you didn't have to obey me. You've disobeyed me how many times? You do things that make me want to throw up. You're on your own. When you get saved, then come and talk to me. When you get right, when you stop sinning, when you get your debts paid, then come and let's talk. But he didn't.
That's right.
He said, I'm going to take care of it.
That's right.
I'm going to save them. I'm going to actually pay the price that they owe. And they might not even appreciate it.
That's right.
They might not even ever care enough to open a Bible to find out about it. They might actually be just stupid enough that when a preacher tries to tell them about it, they'll turn them off. They'll turn across the radio dial and they'll hear a preacher and they'll say, oh, that's boring. Keep on going. Bunch of nuts. All they want is my money. Keep on going. Somebody might knock on their door and want to give them a tract and they'll say, Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm tired of Jehovah's Witnesses. Don't want to talk to them anymore. But God says, I'm still going to do it.
That's right.
I'm going to die on the cross. I'm going to pay their debt. I'm going to rise again. And I'm going to make the offer to everybody.
That's right.
Anybody wants to?
Thank you, Lord.
Anybody? He says, anybody wants to, I'll save you.
Amen.
You say, well, what? I've done so much. No, I don't care. I don't care how much you've done. I'll save you. I'll make you happy.
Amen.
That's what makes God happy.
Amen.
God gets happy saving people.
Amen.
This is an amazing thing. Do you know that salvation causes happiness?
Yes.
Salvation causes happiness. It is universal. It's an amazing thing, but it causes happiness in the convert.
Yes.
Man, do you remember when you got saved, how happy you felt?
Yeah, amen.
And then the first time God begins to speak to you and you realize that God truly has touched you. That is an amazing feeling. That's happiness right there. You talk about that happy feeling. That's the happy feeling. When you get saved, you get right with God, all of your sins roll away.
That's right.
And you can feel it. You feel like you can fly. That's happiness. See, everybody who gets saved gets happy.
Amen. Amen.
Did you know there's nothing like somebody getting saved to cause happiness in the church?
Amen.
Man, somebody said, I want to get saved. You haven't seen a party in a church like that one.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
I mean, now this is a party in the church when somebody gets saved. Somebody says, I need to be saved. And then they stand up and say, I got saved. And the church begins to rejoice and they're just putting a party out. I mean, we get happy when people get saved.
Amen.
They're not us. I mean, we're already saved.
Yeah.
We don't need them. God doesn't need them.
That's right.
But it sure makes us happy.
Amen.
Man, it makes us happy. Did you know that salvation makes people happy in heaven?
That's right.
Says there's more joy over one sinner that repents than over 99 that don't need any repentance.
That's right.
My goodness, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels when someone gets saved.
Amen.
That means God is happy.
That's right.
That means God's going, woo! Somebody else got saved.
Amen.
This is something good, people. Look at this. I don't even know if the angels are noticing, but they can't help it. When somebody gets saved, God starts shouting, and the angels have to look too. Wow.
That's right.
There it went again.
Amen.
Somebody else got saved. People get happy in heaven when somebody gets saved. Do you know people get happy in hell when somebody gets saved?
Yes.
Now, that ought to wake you up. Do you know there are people in hell right now hoping for somebody to get saved?
That's right.
In these meetings.
That's right.
They want somebody to get right with God. Finally meet Him.
That's right.
Finally get their sins forgiven.
That's right.
Finally get themselves right. They start thinking straight. Get that all those cobwebs out of the devil. Of the devil out of their heads. They finally start seeing things the way things really are. They finally start smelling the smoke of the burning. They finally start smelling or feeling or sensing the day of judgment's coming. And they finally wake up.
Amen.
And they say, I want to get saved. And they get saved and there's people in hell rejoicing.
Amen.
Because they don't want them to come to that place.
Amen.
They finally woke up. Happiness is salvation. Salvation is happiness. That's the bottom line, people. Salvation is happiness.
Yes.
People who are saved are happy. You know, they might have some horrible things happen in their lives, but they're still happy. Do you know what cancer is in a Christian? Cancer in a Christian. I mean, a Christian, when he dies, he goes right into the presence of God.
Amen.
I mean, into light that no man on earth can approach unto. I mean, he's right smack in the presence of God. And he has fellowship with God forevermore. And all his sins have just melted away. And he can see himself in righteousness of Christ.
Yes.
Dressed, clothed with honor. And then they're slaughtering a fatted calf and they're having a party.
That's right.
Because they came. And they're all together. You know what cancer is in a Christian? Anybody got an idea? Was it a call from heaven? Maybe it's like, you know, a cancer in a Christian is just a call from heaven. I'm getting ready to call you home.
That's right.
You know what cancer is in a Christian? It's the devil's sour grapes.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he can't do anything else.
That's right.
That's all he can do. He can make your body suffer and he can take away this old, useless life. But then that's all.
That's it.
You can't do anything else. Man, that's why saved people are happy.
Amen.
In God's definition, you don't even have to feel happy. God says you are.
Amen.
You're saved, you're happy.
Amen.
Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee? People saved by the Lord. Look at that comparison. Who's like to you?
Yes, sir.
There's a whole lot of people who don't have it.
That's right.
There's a whole lot of people who are the other side of the comparison. Happy are you? But boy, look at those others. They're not happy. And there is no happiness in it. I just have a hard time understanding people who actually think that they're happy And yet they don't know God. And they don't know how to deal with their own sin. And they just clog it up into their own conscience till their conscience just quits feeling. And they just have no more sense of it. And they just live on ignoring the day of their death day after day after day. Looking for little pieces of chocolate candy to make them happy for a little while. Doing something to make themselves happy for a little while. And God is saying, no, that's not happiness. These people aren't happy. If the key to happiness is making others happy, what is the key to the happiness? You're hearing me? If the key to happiness is making others happy, what is the key to happiness? Isn't it the gospel?
That's right.
What else is there? There is no other happiness besides salvation. By definition, anyone who is not saved is not happy. And usually that's the case. Even in their feelings. That's the experimental case. They're not happy. And God says even more so. They're being fooled. They're being led by the error of the wicked. They're being deceived by sin.
Yes.
And by their own supposed intelligence. They're not happy. And they won't be happy. And when they die, they cry. And they ought to cry.
Yes.
Because that's a sad day when a lost person dies.
Amen.
And they won't be happy the rest of eternity.
That's right.
That's right.
If happiness is making other people happy, what is the key to happiness? It's the gospel, people.
That's right.
It is the gospel. You want to be happy? Make somebody else happy. You want to be happy? You preach the gospel.
That's right.
You tell them who Jesus is and you tell them how to find Him.
Amen.
And when they find Him, they're happy.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.